This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. Here we are. It is Tuesday. It is March 4th. And we are ready to get things going. Hopefully you had a decent Monday and we are all set. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know if you noticed this or did you watch the part of the Oscars where they do the people they honored in the past, like the In Memoriam? And did you hear that Michelle Trachtenberg was not in that In Memoriam? And their fans are very upset about it. I am one of those fans that was upset about it. She was left out of the In Memoriam at the Oscars.
That's I did see that. There were quite a few people that were actually left out of that. Mm-hmm. Has that been something that's just been kind of weighing heavy on you?
I had to talk. I was like, you know what? We didn't talk about yesterday when we were talking about all the Oscars recap. Is that? I'm like, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
That's
when I
like
talk to
not
Mercedes.
What I expected to hear first thing this morning. I'll be honest. I should have given you that warning.
Yes, I should have.
But aside from that, how are you?
I'm good. Other than me being upset about Michelle, I'm good. I woke up on the right side of the bed this morning, I would say, other than James is snoring. I wear earplugs every morning, and right when I took out the earplugs, it was just like a volcano of snores.
Oh, man. You need to get him that mouth tape and see if that helps. I've been using that. Although the other night, I don't know what I did in my sleep, but I must have taken it off because I woke up and I was talking in my sleep, apparently, and I'm like, what happened to my mouth tape? And I look, it's stuck to my pajamas. I was like, oh, I must have taken it off at some point. I don't know why I did that, but it's been a game changer, man. It really has helped me. I mean, I'm not much of a snorer, more so like a sleep talker, and like I still make grunty noises, which the mouth tape doesn't help. But I would suggest trying that.
I'm gonna tell him if he's into it. He does sleep with his mouth open, and he doesn't really wake up with a dry mouth. At least he doesn't tell me. But when I wake up and I see him snoring, he's looking at me. Well, not looking at me. He's facing me, snoring loud, and then his mouth is like,
yeah. They also have other. Have you guys looked in getting him one of those CPAP machines?
I mean, I doubt. This is the thing with James that has been very difficult, is getting him to the doctor or to the dentist. I mean, you probably know my pain. It's trying to schedule him into an appointment. It's, why do I need to go here? I don't want to pay thousands of dollars for no reason. So, I mean, as much as I would love to get him a CPAP machine to see if that's what he's needed, I doubt he's going to want to go and even see if he needs it.
Well, I mean, I would also throw in kind of the issues that could happen if he doesn't get it, settled, the snoring. There's high blood pressure and risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes and stroke. Like, there's a lot of health problems that could come with that if he doesn't get into the doctor.
You got to help me. You got to be like, hey, James.
Hey, listen, this is the issue. We want you to be around for a very long time.
I think so, too. I think I'm just going to, like, sit him down, be like, hey, I know that this might cost money, but in the end, it will help us, and I think we'll know a little bit more about what concerns your snoring.
Well, insurance should cover a good portion of it, I would think. I mean, it is a health thing, so hopefully it does, but you never know. Sometimes you get those random bills and you're like, oh, really? Thanks for covering, insurance.
Right. Well, wish me luck. I'll figure something out.
Yeah, that's no fun for sure. I definitely can relate to that, and just trying to get your significant other to finally go to the doctor is like, man, I feel like I've parted the Red Sea when I was able to do that. Like, yes. What is going on? Well, we have so much happening on this show this morning. First of all, we have an early edition of Heads Up this morning. Your tickets to check out Bryan Adams in his residency. That is happening. 7:30 with the Mega Minute. It was just announced yesterday. Alanis Morissette has a brand new residency coming to Caesars, the Coliseum at Caesars, and we've got your passes for that. And 8 o'clock hour, comedian Aziz Ansari, he is coming to town, and we are going to give those away with Heads Up. But let's start the show. It is time for the pre-show. You pick them. You guys get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch? Do you want to hear Where Have All the Cowboys Gone by Paula Cole?
Where have all the cowboys gone?
Why don't you say, or do you want to hear Clocks by Coldplay? Get your votes in right now. You can vote on our Facebook page. It's Mercedes in the Morning. You can also text us or tweet us. You can text us at 702-364-9400 or tweet us on X or Threads at Mercedes in the AM. We'll count your votes now and reveal the winner next on Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the Morning. I feel like the biggest part about being a relationship that is inevitable is getting in a petty fight. Something that is so little when you look at the big picture, but it turns into something. And that happened to you over the weekend?
It did. And it's because I was so looking forward to something. And I think my husband just simply forgot. And I told you on Friday night, I was so looking forward to it. We're going to go to Costco. We have a Costco date. And then right after, we're going to go to In-N-Out. And I talked to him. I was like, let's go dine in. It's been a long time since we've actually sat across from each other and ate dinner. He goes, yeah, yeah, of course, of course. So we go Costco shopping. We get done. And afterwards, you know, every single In-N-Out, their parking lot is insane. It's like trying to find parking. It's, you know, getting in the drive-through line is also crazy. So James pulls into the parking lot of In-N-Out, and I thought he was looking for a parking spot. Turns out he was in line for the drive-through, and I had no idea. I thought he was just waiting for the cars to pass so we can park. Well, an In-N-Out employee, you know those people at the drive-thru, sometimes they're actually out in the parking lot just to kind of save time and go faster.
Yeah.
Well, they came up to our car, and the employee actually went onto my side of the car, and I said, roll down the window, I'm ready to tell him, oh, we're dining in. So I rolled down the window, I'm like, hey, just to let you know, we're dining in. And then James looks at me, he goes, oh, I thought we were going doing drive-thru. Well, here we go. Here's my order. And he just starts ordering. We didn't talk about it. I think it was because it was awkward because the employee was right there. He was like, oh, okay. And then he gets his tablet. He starts ordering. And I immediately just shut down. I'm like, are you serious? I was looking forward to dining in. So I just went with the flow. I'm like, okay. I do my order. I say my order number one, protein style, animal style fry. And then once I roll the windows up, he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I thought we were dining in. He goes, I'm so sorry. Do you want to cancel our order? No, just do it. Just go. Just let's go through the drive-thru. And I just got so upset. I was like, wow, I don't believe I'm really upset over not dining in In-N-Out right now.
Well, sometimes it's the perfect storm. You know, the type of day that you had, the type of mood that you're in. And some things one day will not bother you. The next day, they're going to completely bother you. And so I just chalk it up to being one of those days. But I think that, you know, any person can look at a reason that they got in a fight with someone and can find a petty one. And even if it's dining in or dining out, which, by the way, I hate dining in. I'm really surprised you wanted to dine in.
Really?
I'm like James. I'm like, I want to take the things. But if you had your heart set on it, I totally get why you're upset.
I was hard. I think because we don't have those moments anymore.
Like, right.
Yeah. And that's why. And so looking back at it now, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so silly. Like, it took me a couple hours to get over it too. And even James was comforting me. He goes, do you want me to get you a Neapolitan shake? I was like, no, I don't want a Neapolitan shake.
Oh, I would have been like, yes, absolutely, I want one of those. It's Mix 94.1.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Good morning and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday. It's March 4th, 6:04. Thank you guys so much for being here. I know we talk about like cheating on this show before, but let's talk about a different kind of cheating because I saw something that was really interesting. This might seem high. According to a new poll I saw this morning, 33% of Americans have a partner who has admitted to cheating in the past. And they say 14% say they always cheat. And some say they often cheat. But we're not talking about relationships here. We're talking about poker, Monopoly, and Mario Kart. We're talking about recreationally playing games, board games, card games, video games. And I saw this and I'm like, yep, like this is the bane of my family existence. Whenever someone has the bright idea for us to play some sort of a game, like my youngest loves when we sit around the table and play Uno. She loves playing Uno, but man, we always end up in a fight. And there's not a lot of cheating that goes on in the Uno world at our house, but there is in the Monopoly world. And I cannot tell you a single time that we have played Monopoly where someone didn't wind up in tears. And I think it's my husband that's cheating on that because he wins every single game, every single one. And then my daughters are bankrupt and they start crying and it's just a mess.
How do you think Matt is cheating on Monopoly?
I can't figure it out. I watch him like a hawk. I don't think he's taking money from the banker. I don't know. He's doing something that is just making it so he wins every single game. Is there a strategy behind Monopoly aside from buying everything up? I don't know, but I feel like he's cheating at that
game. Does he play the banker or is someone else playing the banker?
No, I'm always the banker.
You're always the banker.
I'm
okay.
The honest one. I make sure everyone gets their money. I'm not going to mess anything up, but it's just weird. Do you have someone in your family that is like the cheater?
I think more of the game that makes us fight is the game Overcooked. Have you played the video game Overcooked?
Never heard of it.
Okay, it's a two-player game. Basically, you have a time that you have to finish all these foods that you have to cook. And the thing that gets us with James and I is who didn't wash the dishes? So you have to wash the dishes, cook, and do everything in a certain amount of time. And we always get into a fight over Overcooked.
That's
don't recommend.
But it's not because of cheating, right?
It's not.
It's because of just playing.
It's just because playing. Cheating-wise, we don't play enough games for me to think that he's cheating. But the fights that cause our fights is Overcooked.
It's always a game, I'm telling you.
Yep.
You start out with the best of intentions and it turns into that.
They're supposed to have fun here.
I know. They're not fun. Games are not fun at all. Well, we have a lot coming up on the show this morning. 7:30 with the Mega Minute. Your tickets to the newly announced residency with Alanis Morissette over at the Coliseum at Caesars. We've got your tickets right around 7:30. Also this morning, tickets for you to see Aziz Ansari. He is so funny and he is coming to town. We've got your tickets with a later edition of Heads Up. And on the way, in just a few minutes, we'll be playing Heads Up for Bryan Adams tickets. But first, we'll get to what's trending. Is Kourtney Kardashian a grandma? She has taken to Instagram to address the rumors that her 15-year-old son is a father. We have details coming up and what's trending.
Are you guys ready? All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending? What's trending on Mix 94.1.
Kourtney Kardashian is trending this morning. I don't know if you guys have heard this rumor, but they were just flying that her 15-year-old son is a father, and now she is slamming those rumors. So Kourtney took to Instagram to set the record straight about Mason Disick, that is her son, with Scott Disick, and some fake accounts were pretending to be him. In the post, I guess they were saying that he had a little girl that he had a couple of years ago, and they were showing pictures of this little girl and saying that this was his son, his daughter. And so she went to Instagram and said, he's not a father and Mason likes his privacy. She wrote, I rarely address rumors or conspiracies regarding myself or my family, but this is about my child, and it feels wrong to let anyone think for a second that these lies are remotely true. She wrote, they are not. Mason does not have a child. These accounts that pretend to be him are definitely not. They are fake. My son really values his privacy, and I'm asking all media to please be respectful. He is a kid with feelings and a beautiful life ahead of him. Stop spreading false narratives and spinning lies. And to all the other people making videos about my kids, who, by the way, are minors, please stop and leave them alone.
Wow. Okay, so I saw this post on TikTok, and there's tons of them reporting that Mason is allegedly a father. And I guess it started from he was on Instagram Live, apparently, and he was asking questions. And one of the questions was, are you a dad? And he said, yes. And then the second question was, well, let's see a picture of her. And like you said, there was pictures of her. But if these accounts are fake, was he really on Instagram Live, or was he just like these fake accounts, like just posting stories and he was just answering them, is the connection that I'm trying to make, because there are a ton of videos that are saying that he's a dad.
I think people jump on things, and was it him? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
But was he joking around? Maybe. Yeah, I'm a dad. And then someone's like, oh, he's a dad. Look, he just announced it. It's like, it's hard to believe anything you really see online. Seriously. These days. And so I think that she did the right thing about speaking out, because I know her family there's a lot of rumors that go around about all of them, but when it's about your kids, you have to step in and you have to say something. Is he a dad? I don't know. I don't know that family, but like, if she says he's not, then it doesn't change my life at all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Fans have pointed out that there is absolutely no way that the family could have kept that kind of a secret, considering the microscope that they're under. And yeah. I kind of feel like they have a point. So there you go. That is what's trending.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Okay, we've got our contestant this morning. Nicole, how you doing?
Hi, good morning.
You are caller 20. Yeah. Ready to play for these Bryan Adams tickets?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We've got four categories for you to choose from. Do you want to go with Go Fight Win, Lawn Mower, Pancake Breakfast, or Fat Tuesday?
Oh, my God. Okay, let's go with Pancake Breakfast.
Okay, perfect. So National Pancake Week is actually this week. So these are all foods that start with the letter P, okay?
Okay.
I feel like the best foods start with the letter P.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm thinking what you're thinking.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's get on the same page, Nicole. 6 and 60 seconds. I think we can do this. You ready to go?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Mercedes and Nicole, your 60 seconds for Heads Up start now.
There's mashed, baked.
Potatoes.
Yes. This is a round with a pepperoni on it.
Pizza.
Yes. People might shred this. It's a pig. They shred this.
Pork.
Yes. This is a type of, okay, not, oh gosh, not black, not green. It's
peppers?
No, let's pass. This is a fruit. It has a pit in the middle of it. It's very sweet. James and the Giant.
Oh, Pete.
Yes. This is what you would get to eat at the movie theater.
Popcorn.
Yes. This is another fruit. It's green. It's like small at the top and gets bigger
Papaya.
At the bottom. It's green, small at the top, bigger at the bottom. It's also a body type, like you're this shaped.
Hair.
Yes,
hair.
Yes,
oh my
yes,
God,
yes.
You beat the buzzer. Wow.
I never doubted Nicole. Not for a second. Nice job, Nicole. You got those tickets just barely, but you really worked for them. Two tickets to check out Bryan Adams at the Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. The one I struggled with was pinto beans. I was like, green. And I'm sure there were better clues for that, but it didn't matter because you got it anyway. Congratulations, Nicole. Thank you so much for playing. And the winning does not stop. At 7:30 this morning, we've got your tickets to see Alanis Morissette, her brand new residency. It's coming to Las Vegas, and your chance to win with the Mega Minute at 7:30. 694.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. You've heard the phrases terrible twos, the three tantrums, and that's something you're worried about.
Yeah, I think I'm more terrified of the toddler stage than a teenager stage when I have kids. And I was scrolling through TikTok, and this is one of the reasons why I am more afraid of the toddler stage. Listen to this mom trying to put her toddler down for a nap.
Come on. No, let's take him up. Let's take a nap. Come on.
No. Stop throwing a fit. Nee. It's not nice. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
No.
Let's take a nap.
Oh, the tantrums. Did your kids ever have tantrums? I didn't have kids, but when my brother, when he was little and he was a toddler, I was like, this is the reason why I don't want to have kids. Vividly remember we were at SeaWorld. We were by the turtles. And he didn't want to leave the turtle section. So what he did, we're like, okay, it's time to go, Jacob. Let's go. He's like, no! He threw his whole entire body on the ground. And he starts hitting his head on the floor multiple times. No, 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 no. And I was frozen. I was like, I don't know what to do. My stepmom's yelling at him, get up on the floor, Jacob. It's time to go or we're leaving SeaWorld. And then continues, no, 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 no. I'm terrified of the toddler stage.
That's definitely something that happens. I don't know that there's any avoiding it. And it also depends on the child, too. I think that different children have different personalities. I mean, I never, with either of my kids, they never were excited about taking a nap. And it's so funny because now that they're older, they're like, why did I fight with you to take naps? Now, wonderful. I'm like, I know. That's just the way it goes. But I think that it's a rite of passage. I think it makes you a stronger person when you have a toddler that refuses to listen to you. You know what I mean?
How did you handle that, though? Like, let's say they were throwing a tantrum in public. Like, what would you be one of the first things you did to either calm them down or divert?
I'm one of those people that would just be like, okay, you could go ahead and have your tantrum, and I walk away. And when they realize that no one was paying attention to them and no one was listening to them, they just kind of like stopped, looked around, and then went about their business. But that was just me. Did you have a kid that had a public temper tantrum? 702-364-9400. Hey, Loretta, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What happened to you?
So me and my husband, we would go to the store with the kids and they would throw a tantrum like they wanted something. And I would be like, nope, you're not getting it. Let's keep going. We got to go shopping. And they would throw a tantrum and I would just ignore it. I would just let it go just like you did, Mercedes. And then my husband couldn't handle it. He's like, nope. And he would give in and he would give it to them. And it would be so frustrating because that's not going to teach them anything. And just, you know, let them throw the tantrum and they'll get over it. So that way I just said, forget it. I'm not even going to the store anymore. So that became my husband's job to go to the store. And that worked out even better.
Oh, you got out of that. That's nice. I agree with you. I feel like when you fight back on a tantrum, that's like adding fuel to the fire. And that's just escalating it, making it worse. And they hated it when you didn't give them any sort of attention on it. So, Loretta, you and I are definitely on the same page. But don't let that prevent you from having kids if that's in the future for you. You know, it's going to happen. You just have to accept it and know, and then kind of come up with your game plan far in advance so you know how you're going to handle it when it does happen.
I've learned two things from you and Loretta. Okay, stay calm and ignore them, and just don't go grocery shopping with your husband.
Yes, absolutely.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
Some sad news this morning. Dolly Parton's husband and best friend for 60 years, Carl Dean, he passed away in Nashville yesterday. She released a statement. She said, Carl and I spent many wonderful years together. Words can't do justice to the love we shared for over 60 years. Thank you for your prayers and sympathy. Dolly met him outside the wishy-washy laundromat the day she moved to Nashville back in 1964. She was only 18 years old, and they ended up getting married 2 years after that, and they were together ever since. And I like, if you showed me a picture of Carl, I couldn't tell you what he looked like. And that was intentional. He preferred to be out of the limelight, and it worked so well for him over the years, because he didn't feel like he couldn't have his own life because people didn't really know what he looked like.
Yeah, I just looked it up now. Carl Dean, an asphalt paver who met his wife Dolly outside a Nashville laundromat more than six decades ago and quietly championed her as she rose to superstardom. How amazing is that? I would love to have, like, if James was a superstar and I was quietly in the background, hey, that sounds like the life, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you get the benefits of both worlds right there. So he's going to be laid to rest in a private ceremony. Just immediate family going to be attending that. He was 82 years old. So some sad news, but just a beautiful relationship that the two of them had. Also this morning, speaking of celebrities, Harry Styles was not holding back in Japan over the weekend. He took on the Tokyo Marathon, and he landed in the top tier of runners on Sunday. There was footage all over the place by fans showing him powering through the 26.2 mile race. He was wearing a dark hoodie, neon sneakers, a white bandana. And you know, when people would yell at him, he would smile. He'd flash a peace sign as supporters cheered him on. But according to the official race results, the singer finished in 6,010th place. But that's out of more than 37,000 participants.
Wow.
Yeah, he clocked in at around 3 hours and 24 minutes. Now, the top finisher, just to put that in perspective, Tadesse Takale, completed the course in 2 hours and 3 minutes. So there was quite a big distance there, but I'm thinking this person trains really, really hard.
Oh, for sure.
The female runner, the first place female runner, Satumi Asefa Kabedi, crossed the line at 2 hours and 16 minutes. So that's like insane. Harry's been out of the spotlight for a little while, ever since Harry's house came out, and he was only recently seen in public at Liam Payne's funeral service back in November.
Good for Harry, though, just getting his mental right, his physical right, doing a marathon. That is not easy. And seeing his body and everything he had to do to get to that point, that takes a lot.
Well, yeah, definitely. I just think that's a great way to kind of refocus. I'm sure he was really traumatized by the death of his friend.
Yeah.
And so it was nice that he had this to focus on, and look at how well he did. That was pretty amazing. Finally, this morning, people can be pretty gross, especially when it comes to doing stuff in secret that they don't think anyone's going to ever find out about, whether it is picking their nose or not washing their hands after they go to the bathroom. A lot of us are guilty of a personal hygiene habit that we may not be proud of. A new survey revealed details about one in particular, and it turns out nearly a quarter of Americans pee in the shower on a regular basis.
Oh.
Overall, 12% admit to peeing in the shower every single day, while another 12% say they do it a few times a week. Millennials are more likely to do it more often, with a quarter of those surveyed confessing that it is a daily habit for them. Nearly half of all respondents admit to peeing in the shower at some point during the course of an average year.
Yeah, at some point I've done it. I mean, not on a daily basis. My routine is I actually go to the bathroom before I go into the shower. I just think it's weird peeing in the shower. I think it's like, oh, and it smells kind of funny afterwards. But me, I don't do it on a daily basis.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that, yeah, I'm the same as you. I go to the restroom before I get in the shower. But once in a while, you'll be in there and it's like, oh, the sound of the water, the warmth. I'm like, oh, gosh, I got to go to the bathroom again. All right. Well, might as well. Like, that was just the worst. The one that I don't like, but we've all done it, admit it, is peeing in the pool. Peeing in the pool. There was something when I was a kid about getting in that pool that all of a sudden my bladder was like, just so disgusting. And then when I got a pool, I was like, no one's allowed to pee in that pool.
And that's why you never use the pool.
Yeah, when no one goes in it.
It's time for Beat Mercedes. Mercedes. Can you guess the song faster than she can? Let's go.
All right. We have our contestant on the line and our future winner of Beat Mercedes, yes. Ashley. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to beat me today? Are you going to guess this song faster than I can?
Mercedes, I might be older than you, so let's do this.
Let's do this. I am so ready for it. $925 diamond pendant, courtesy of Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers, up for grabs. The one and only time I want someone to beat me in a game. So, Ashley, here's the deal. I'm going to leave the studio. You're going to have your chance to do it. So I'm wishing you the best of luck, okay?
Okay, I'm so ready.
Okay, good luck. I'll be back.
I can't wait to win.
Oh, you are going to win. You put it out there. Manifest it.
Bye, Mercedes. She's leaving the studio. She goes outside so she can't hear a thing. All right, Ashley, this is how the game works. You are going to hear the first 20 seconds of a song. And once you know the correct artist and title, I need you to shout out, got it, okay? Once you say got it, you have 5 seconds to say something, okay?
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You got it. You're ready to play, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Be ready because the next sound that you hear is the game, and the song starts now.
Yeah, y'all know what it is. Katy Perry, Juicy J. Let's rage.
I knew you were gonna come to me.
And here you are. All right, Ashley, that's 20 seconds. You got anything?
Got it.
Okay, go ahead. What is it?
I don't know. Katy Perry.
Okay, Katy Perry. Now give me a title.
Rapper Diary? My kids. I don't know. They're telling me.
Oh, what did your kids say? Tell them to talk right into the microphone. I didn't hear the title.
Rapper Diary? No.
Okay, I'm going to bring Mercedes in. Let's not talk about the game anymore, okay? All right, okay. Mercedes is coming in. Ashley, you're getting the kids ready for school. Where do they go to school?
Somerset Sky Point.
Nice. All right, Ashley, Mercedes is back.
Hello.
Good morning. Okay. All right. How you feeling this morning?
Oh, I feel good. I just, I kind of want to lose, but, okay. We got to do this legit, so.
We do. All right. The next sound that you hear is the game, and the song starts now.
Got it.
What you got?
Dark Horse. By Katy Perry featuring Juicy J.
Oh, she got the feature in there. Okay, Mercedes, you're right. Okay. Good job. Dark Horse, Katy Perry featuring Juicy J. But Ashley went the full 20 seconds and she only knew Katy Perry.
No.
Oh, well, her kids helped her and she said some title that I wasn't sure of, but it wasn't Dark Horse.
Oh, Ashley, you know what? You gave it a good effort. I'm so sorry. That was kind of like in my wheelhouse, I guess. We play that song, so I knew that one right away. But you know what? That just means better news for the next person because now our diamond pendant is worth $950, and you'll have another chance to win it tomorrow morning. Here you go. Dark Horse by Katy Perry. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Make sure you keep listening because at 9 o'clock, we have an absolutely huge concert announcement. This is going to be really cool, and we'll have tickets to give away also in just a few minutes with the Mega Minute at 7:30. Tickets to see Alanis Morissette, her brand new residency that we just announced yesterday at the Coliseum at Caesars. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
You just called and I said, hang on the line because this is something we should definitely bring up on air. I think we could get a lot of insight on this and get you some advice that you were asking for. What is going on?
My daughter, Ava, is a really, really hardworking student. And I've always told her that the effort she puts in always matters more to us than perfection. But last week, she came home crying because she literally missed one point. And she was one point away from getting an A in her math class, which she's been working really hard on. She was crying at me and was like, Mom, everyone's parents email the teachers about stuff like this. Can't you just email and ask them to round up? And at first I was really against it because I don't really want to be one of those parents. But then I thought to myself, like, one point, like, would that really make a difference? It could really boost her GPA. It could help her with her scholarship. And if other parents are doing it, am I putting my daughter at a disadvantage by not speaking up?
Oh,
would you
send an email to the teacher or reach out to them and ask them to give her the one point to get the A?
Yeah, like if everyone else is.
I guess that's tough. Ugh. Oh, what do you guys think? 702-364-9400. Like, there's one side of me that's like, hey, don't get involved. Because, you know, if she was one point away, like, that was one point she should have gotten.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then the other side of me is like, oh, the difference between a B and an A is so big.
It's huge. And then I think, too, like, for parents, like, if she does it now, is the teacher going to have to do it for every single parent?
That's tough. Hold on, Rachel. What do you guys think? 702-364-9400. It is reaching out to the teacher and asking them to reconsider. If I am going to reach out to the teacher, first of all, I would encourage my daughter to talk to the teacher. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you need to be the one and ask them, can I do some extra credit? Is there anything that I can do to get this extra point? What can I do? I feel like I don't want to get involved. I feel like this is like a perfect teaching moment for my kid. And yes, I get that other parents do it, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Let's talk it to Michelle. Michelle, good morning. What do you think?
Good morning. I agree with this mom. I had a daughter who went through the exact same thing. She was one point away from an A, and it totally messed up her GPA. She even did extra credit. She went to the teacher. It didn't help. Like, I don't understand, like, why can't they just round it up by a point, especially if they're making the effort? It's like the teachers are, like, power hungry or something, and they aren't flexible. Like, the kid was really making an effort. Like, why couldn't you just bump it up a bit, you know?
Let me play devil's advocate, Michelle. Like, totally get you where you're coming from, but let me play devil's advocate here. Why couldn't they have worked just a little bit harder to get that extra point?
Yeah, she did. She did extra credit. Like, she really, well, she did put the effort in. Like, I can see if they were just doing the bare minimum, but she really was working for it. And, like, they couldn't just, I mean, come on. You know, if the kid's not doing anything extra, like, you know? I had my daughter go to her. So I was like, I'm not calling the teacher. But, like, why couldn't they just, why can't they just do it, you know?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I definitely do. Sonia is on the phone. Sonia, you actually did email the teacher. What happened?
I would email the teacher and ask for extra credit. Like, if there's something she could do to earn extra credit.
And do you think that should be something you should do as a parent? Or do you think that your kid should do that and teach them how to kind of advocate for themselves?
Yes, the daughter should do it.
Have you done it in the past?
My son has.
Oh, good. That's great that he did it for himself.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Mr. Torres, who is a teacher.
Oh.
Mr. Torres, good morning. You've been listening to Rachel, her dilemma. What do you think on a situation like this? Have you been put in this position before?
Good morning. I have been put in this position quite a few times, but honestly, I've never been emailed by a parent in terms of rounding the grade. Normally, when I have been asked, it's always come from the student, which I personally feel that feels more appreciative because they vouch for themselves. They're vouching for themselves, and in today's world, I personally feel like a lot of the times the students don't know how to vouch for themselves. Let alone, like, they miss a day of school, they won't check in with the teacher to see what they missed. But I mean, I definitely see both points of views about rounding grades. Like, I definitely understand the concept of, like, how it can impact GPA. One of the things that I think about when it comes to rounding grades in general is how much effort did the student put in? Did they come and seek tutoring? Did they, I know nowadays, like, district policy allows retakes for, like, tests and many other things. And so, did the student come in to do those types of things? And if they did, then maybe I could see why they're deserving of rounding, but On the contrary side, I feel sometimes that maybe when a student doesn't do these extra things, doesn't try to do anything, doesn't talk to you all quarter semester long about their grade, but then all of a sudden need to round that grade, I think it becomes a little bit more difficult there because they didn't show any initiative towards it.
Yeah, but it's hard to justify that. I absolutely get it, Mr. Torres. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Jonas. Jonas, you're in school now, and have you been in this situation before?
Yes, I am. I'm currently right now in school for physical therapy, and I always say your good is your better, your better is your best. If their better isn't their best, and they aren't prepared for the grades, and they don't get the grades. It's preparing you for school, it's preparing you for life, it's preparing you for the real world. So
you're in school, you're not teaching the class?
You sound like a teacher, Jonas.
I think we all just learned a lesson from you.
Yeah, that's no kidding.
That's awesome. No, I get what you're saying. Do you have any sympathy for someone who really worked hard and they were just one point away? Is there anything that I can do to get that? You say no go. You didn't get in the first place.
I no go. And actually, the school that I currently go to has a policy that we don't do extra credit. And my very first semester, I was on the border. I was on precipice of 79 and 80. And I got a 79.8 and they gave me a C.
Oh, my God. 0.8? That's so tough.
What's the saying again?
You learn.
What's your saying again?
Your good isn't your best. Your good isn't your better. Your better isn't your best. If your better wasn't your best, you don't get the grade.
Oh, Jonas.
Wise words from
man.
Jonas. Thank you so much. Yeah. Rachel, I hope this helps. It's kind of got both sides on that. It sounds like the best thing to do is let your daughter kind of advocate for herself and see where that gets her. But Jonas says, like, that's that.
He's to the book, and I love it.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Thanks for all of your calls. Let's get to it. It is time to win. Who wants tickets to see Alanis Morissette? It is time to win with the Mega Minute. Just announced yesterday, she's coming to the Coliseum at Caesars, her brand new residency, and you're going to be there. Caller 20 right now, you get to take on the Mega Minute. It's 10 questions. You answer them all correctly in 60 seconds, and these tickets are yours. Caller 20, you get to play right now. 702-364-9400.
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Denise, your caller 20.
Yay!
Are you ready to conquer the Mega Minute? Let's do it. Do you have any help
Absolutely.
This morning?
I do. I have my daughter, Aubrey.
Oh, all right, Aubrey. You ready to help mom out with the Mega Minute?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. You get 60 seconds. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. If you get them all correct, you're going to win these tickets to see Alanis Morissette. If you know the answer, scream it out, because it doesn't matter who it is. As long as I hear the correct answer, we'll move on to the next question, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Denise, if you're struggling with a question, you can say pass, or if you get one wrong, if there's time at the end, we'll go back to those questions, and the Mega Minute starts now.
What country is Alanis Morissette from?
Canada.
Yes. Walter White was a character in which TV show?
Breaking Bad.
Yes. Which singer sang the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow at the Oscars on Sunday?
Is it Ariana Grande?
Yes. What is the capital of Mexico?
Santa Fe?
No. What actor is Kylie Jenner dating?
Timothy Chalamet?
Yes. What is the Las Vegas street in downtown that is considered the second most famous street in the city?
Las Vegas Boulevard?
No. Norman Bates was a fictional character in which horror movie?
Psycho.
Yes. What letter is between A and D on the keyboard?
D?
Yes. What? Good try, Denise and Aubrey. We got hung up on a couple of them. The capital of Mexico is Mexico City. I think you may have thought I said New Mexico, possibly.
Yeah.
Street, Las Vegas Street, that's downtown, that is considered the second most famous street in the city. That is Fremont Street. We got hung up on that one. And we didn't make it to questions 9 and 10. I'm so sorry, you guys. You really gave it a good effort. That means caller 20 right now. You get these tickets, two of them, to see Alanis Morissette at the Coliseum, her brand new residency. These are win them before you can buy them tickets. The show start in October, and they're yours right now. Caller 20, you get them. 702-364-9400.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
Now, we're still waiting for answers on the death of actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa. But Dr. Michael Basden, he's a world-famous forensic pathologist, and he's posed an interesting theory on how this may have happened. Given the evidence from Gene Hackman's pacemaker, Michael Basden says that he may have suffered a cardiac arrest and collapsed. And you may remember we were talking about this. Betsy was found on the floor in the bathroom. She had a space heater next to her, and there was an open prescription bottle on the counter with pills that were just scattered everywhere. He says that she may have run to the bathroom to get Gene's blood pressure medication and then fallen herself. It's possible she had a cardiac event of her own. She wasn't known to be unhealthy, but she was 65 years old and she was under severe stress. So she wasn't, we're not really sure if she had a hit to her head, but that's what the theory is that's being thrown around. Authorities found no evidence of blunt force trauma, but she could have suffered an internal injury, like a brain bleed that didn't actually leave a mark. As for the dog that died, it was in a cage or a kennel. So they're saying that the dog probably died from dehydration. There was no access to water for 9 days. Baden's theory could also explain why Betsy didn't call 911. A lot of people were wondering about that. Her first priority was getting the medication for Gene, and that she possibly died in the process of doing that.
I know I don't want to assume things, but that is a really interesting theory. I think too, like, I mean, think about if your husband passed, fell. The immediate thing is for you not, I want to call 911, but if you have medication and you don't need to call 911, I would do that. I would run to get the medication. And then you said something about severe stress. I wonder if it's because she was his caretaker in a way. Was that what they were alluding to with the stress? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, only she would know, probably. It's just so sad that this happened in this way. If it did go down like this, that she was just trying to help him and then she had an incident of her own. Of course, they're doing the autopsy now, and as soon as we get information on that, we will pass it along. Also this morning, dating is a very complicated process, and going out with someone new can be very awkward. You don't want to talk about yourself too much. But, you know, you don't want to reveal enough to make your date see how great you are, you know, without, you know, just having that proof that you're a good person. So now dating experts are giving us one more thing to worry about by revealing this toxic trend to be aware of in the world of dating. And it's called floodlighting.
Floodlighting.
Floodlighting. If anyone has ever poured their heart out to you on a first date, you have experienced floodlighting. It's dating. It's about using vulnerability as a high intensity spotlight. And a lot of people are resorting to it to show that they're being real and they're being honest. It can include the person pouring their heart out just in the early days of dating, revealing things, everything from previous relationship drama to childhood trauma, all in that effort to rush this intense emotional connection. But, you know, it could be a manipulative tactic if you're using it to force a bond with someone.
I didn't think of it that way. I just think, like, I mean, I haven't had a first date in forever, but when I had a first date with James, it was so easy because we were friends already that I skipped all of the stuff that I didn't need. Like, I didn't need to talk about my parents. He already knew my past love life, all of that. It was so easy. It was just like, hey, what's up? We're already friends. Like, now we're just taking it to a new level.
Yeah, I think it just depends on where you are in that relationship. I think that it's possible to do this with friendship, though, too. for some reason, I am the friend that people love to like trauma dump on. And I think it's because I'm willing to listen to it. So I'll have a lot of friends dump their traumas on me. And then I am just like, oh, like, so I feel I'm an empath. So I absorb it. And then my husband's like, why are you so sad? I'm like, I'm so sad for so-and-so. They're, you know, they did this or whatever. But floodlighting, I think, is a little different because you have an end game in mind. You're like, I'm doing this for this.
Oh, you
and
have
I don't
a
think you're doing that with friendship. I think you just kind of trust a person.
I can totally see that for you in your situation. Like, friends are coming to you like, Mercedes, I just lost my dog.
Well, I want to help. I do want to, like, I'm not like, oh, great, here we go. I love to help. Yeah. And at the same time, you know, it'll take a lot out of you if someone, it's so many people start doing that. But finally this morning, now we were just talking about grades and pushing teachers to give you that extra grade. Maybe sometimes that could backfire. Alicia Ortiz, she's a 19-year-old. She's from Hartford, Connecticut, and she was suing her former high school after she graduated with honors, despite being unable to read or write.
What?
Yeah. She was born in Puerto Rico. She moved to the U.S. at 5 years old, and she had learning challenges early on. She struggled with letter, sound, number recognition as early as the first grade, but her difficulties were not addressed by the school system. You know, they just kind of glazed over them. She ended up graduating with honors from Hartford Public School in June of 2024. She got a scholarship, you guys.
What?
To the University of Connecticut. And what she did, how did she pull it off? She relied on assistive technologies like text-to-speech, speech-to-text apps. That's how she did her assignments. And her lawsuit against the Hartford Board of Education, the city of Hartford, it alleges negligence and seeks accountability for the school's failure to address her learning disabilities.
But she got a scholarship to UConn despite the fact that she can't quote unquote read or write. This sounds a little fibby to me. I'm sorry. I don't know what this teenager is going through, but to sue them to think that you can't read or write, I don't know. I don't know if I believe her. I don't know if I believe her. No,
I think that it is very easy to use technology to get by these days. Like all this stuff, ChatGPT, text to speech, all that. I think you could easily do it. Do I think that they deserve to be sued? I mean, if you were getting good grades and you didn't, I don't know. It's like, did she address this? Did she say, I don't understand? And they ignored her? Or was she on the honor roll and they're like, why would we need to go to this girl to help her because she's getting good grades? That I'm not quite sure
or
about.
What if she was scheming? She was like, I can't read or write, but I'm gonna graduate in honors, and then when I graduate and get my scholarship to UConn, I will sue later.
Oh, I like to believe that people are not purely evil, but that's definitely a possibility. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. You guys, I am a weird person. I'm just going to say that right now. I am weird. Weird things happen to me. And I think I might have possibly solved a crime. I don't know.
What?
This is so bizarre. I told you earlier this morning that I guess I was talking in my sleep the other night. So I typically have been using that mouth sleep tape, and it's really been helping me sleep good. But I guess on Saturday to Sunday, I took it off in the middle of the night, or it came off because it was like stuck on my pajamas when I woke up. So I wake up in the morning and I just kind of open my eyes, and Matt is like staring at me, eyes wide, full on, like with concern.
Like deer in a headlight?
No, it was like concerned. Hmm. Like I might need to call someone staring. And I was just like, I kind of like rubbed my eyes. So I was like, good morning. And he's like, you were talking in your sleep. And so I panic. I'm like, oh no.
What secrets did you say while like, sleeping?
I was like, what did I say for him to look at me like this? And he like kind of hesitated. He was like, and that made it worse in my mind. I was like, what? He goes, you said something like the diamonds are buried under the third cactus.
Wait, you said what again in your sleep?
This is what he told me. I said, the diamonds are buried under the third cactus.
What good game of Clue are you playing in your dream?
I'm like, what? So I started laughing because I thought he was messing with me. But he's not laughing. He's dead serious. And then he goes, You even gave out GPS coordinates. And he holds up his phone and he had it on a note. He had numbers that I said. He's like, he's like, you said these numbers. And I got my phone out because I asked you, I said it again, and I said these numbers. And he goes, and you sounded really serious. So now I'm like freaking out. I'm like, what? I'm like, was I watching to bed? I can't remember. Was I watching Paradise? I don't even know. So I I'm kind of freaking out. I'm like, why am I giving out buried diamond locations in my
you
sleep?
Pirate.
Did I watch some true crime show before bed and just forget about it? And I looked up those GPS coordinates, and I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But if you had an issue with sleep talking, sleep walking, did something weird happen to you? 702-364-9400. Angela, good morning. What happened to you?
It actually happened to my mother. I was at a friend's house, and she was texting me, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you in the house? Who's with you? And I'm like, this is weird. I have to call her. So I called her, and she was on speaker, so my friends could hear. And she's like, what are you guys doing? Why are you here? And I'm like, we're not. And she was like, yes, you are. I can hear you.
It's so bizarre, like the way your brain takes over and doesn't realize you're doing that while you're actually sleeping.
And this is Angela's mom sleep texting.
My mom has sleep texted me before.
Sleep texting?
Yeah, where she was half asleep. And then the next day I'm like, hey, when you texted me this, da, da, da. She's like, what? I'm like, last night. She's like, oh my gosh, I was in bed. I don't remember texting you. I'm like, go back and read them.
I remember that I've picked up a phone before, and I was talking in my sleep, and I was having a full-on conversation when someone called me, but they called me the next day. They're like, hey, do you remember our conversation yesterday? I'm like, absolutely not.
I have no clue what you're talking about. Victoria, good morning. Have you had an issue with sleep walking, sleep talking, sleep texting before?
Yes, so my starter husband was sleep talking, and he was gibbering, and then he peed on me.
He peed on you?
Yeah.
Wait.
And I bet it wasn't number two.
Wait, so Victoria, your husband woke up in the middle of the night, thought that you were in the bathroom. Has this happened more than once, or is just one incident?
It only happened once, and he's not a drinker, so... It wasn't like he was drunk. He was literally sleepwalking, talking, and peed on me.
Oh, my gosh. I've had that dream before that I dreamt I was going to the bathroom in my dream, and thank God I woke up just in time because I probably would have, like, wet the bed. Has that ever happened to you?
So weird. You just jogged a memory. Okay, so I remember I was in my dream, at a dinner, and then I ended up going to the restroom. It was, like, on a cruise ship. I go to the restroom on the cruise ship. I wake up in the middle of the night from that dream as I was in the restroom. Ended up I had COVID.
Oh my gosh. It's making you have weirdo dreams.
Yeah. COVID was giving me the craziest, weirdest dream. I woke up in a weird sweat. I ended up with a high temperature. But I remember I'm like, whoa, the last dream I had before I tested positive for COVID was that weird bathroom dream.
Maybe you weren't in a weird sweat. Maybe it was something else. Just got this text. My dad turns into a dog when he sleeps. He starts growling and running and barking. You'd ask him a question and he responds with a growl or bark and starts doing a dog leg shake. It's for real. It's so crazy. When were you a victim or the perpetrator of sleepwalking, talking, or texting? And coming up next, I got to tell you about these GPS coordinates. He sent them to me. I just asked him. I'm like, can you send me those actual GPS coordinates? And I have them in my phone. When I looked them up, I was like, stop it. I think I solved a crime.
No.
I think I solved a crime.
You are so talented on and off the air, Mercedes. I can't wait to hear about
this. We'll talk about it coming up next. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Sleep walking, talking, texting. Do you do it? I guess did it over the weekend. I said something about diamonds being buried under a cactus, and then I gave out weird GPS coordinates. Amanda has gone through this. Amanda, is it your daughter that sleepwalks or talks?
Yes, my 5-year-old daughter. She wakes up with night terrors all the time, and when she comes downstairs to get comfort from us, she'll be crying, and then we'll comfort her, and she'll be fine. And then she'll just, like, stare at us and then start snoring.
While she's staring at you?
Yeah, and then I'll talk to her, and she's, like, very kind of, like, lethargic. And I'm like, I look at my husband, I'm like, is she sleeping? I don't know. And then the next morning, she doesn't remember any of it.
Oh, my gosh. And it's even kind of creepy when a kid does it, isn't it?
It is.
Imagine, is it true? Like, you don't wake them up, or do you try not to wake her up because it's supposed to, like, be bad if they're sleepwalking or sleep talking?
I don't know if I'm not supposed to, but I always try to, like, Piper, Piper, wake up, Piper. And she sometimes will wake up and sometimes she won't.
Oh, my gosh. If she starts saying something like red rom, then I'm, like, freaking out. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have to go back to this coordinates thing, these
yes.
GPS coordinates, okay? So, like, they were just a bunch of numbers, and I said north and west also. This is my husband put this on his phone while I was saying it, and I had him send it to me. So,
and you said this during your sleep, right?
Yes, so I said, the diamonds are under the third cactus. The diamonds are buried under the third cactus or something like that. And then he's like talking to me. He's like, the what? I go, the diamonds are buried under the third cactus. And I go, they're at, and this is the number. He put it in his phone. I said, 36, 3624 North, 115, 9193 West. So they're just a bunch of numbers, but he wrote them down. And then, so I decided, I'm like, I'm going to see just out of curiosity where this is.
Okay.
Like, so there's no dots in there. So I figured since I said 36, so I put a dot there. So it's 36.3624 North. And then he said, I said 115.9193 West. And so I put a dot between the 115 and the 9193. And I do this in Google Maps.
I'm scared.
Dude. It's in Nevada.
No.
I swear to God, it's in Nevada.
Now you're freaking me out, Mercedes. Now I don't know how I feel about you anymore.
So it's just, all I see is like, there's nothing there. It's just emptiness. And so I zoom out. I'm like, where is this? It's in Pahrump.
What?
It's like this, there's like, I don't know. I can't explain it. There's nothing there.
Like a desert. Like there's cactuses there.
It's this random stretch of desert outside of Vegas, but it's a real place. So now I start spiraling. This, when I looked it up, it was later. I didn't look it up immediately there. I told him where this was. I go, this is outside of Pahrump, those coordinates I gave you. He's like, shut up. And I showed him. He's like, oh my God. He goes, how random. I go, we should probably go. And he's like, what? I go, we should probably go and dig something up to see. Like, maybe I solved a crime. He's like, we're not going to go out to a desert in Pahrump. I go, what if there is actually something out there? Or should I call the police? Do I drive out there by myself? Do I just accept my subconscious as messing with me? What do you think I should do?
You need you have a Metro friend. When she's off duty, you should take her there and just like, I know this is crazy, but like, this is what the dream I had. Here are the coordinates out of the ordinary. It just happened to be in Nevada. So let's go see what she says. But I'm kind of worried. Like, you're going to go all the way up there. You're so excited. You got your shovel. And she's like, let's dig. I see like you and Shia LaBeouf in Holes. Like, what? That's how I picture you
right now. The thing is, like, I don't see any roads leading to it. Like, it's in a mountain. Like, I don't know if I could get there if I wanted to. But of all the numbers I could have given him, why did I give him GPS coordinates to Pahrump? I feel like I'm getting some sort of message. And that, what if there really are diamonds out there under a cactus?
And what if really there are aliens are true and they're messing with your head and they're controlling your subconscious?
I'm scared. I told you I am weird. Something is weird. Ramon, if I give you these coordinates, do you want to go out there and see? And I'll split the loot with you.
Hell yeah, let's go treasure hunting.
It just looks like it's a big hike to get there. So, but seriously, put those GPS coordinates in and see if you guys would actually go there.
I'm freaking out for you. I really just can't. I mean, you're already very spiritually connected, but for you to do coordinates, you're on some other level, lady.
I don't even know what coordinates mean. How did I come up with this? I'm so scared.
Oh man,
let me know what I should do. Should I go off to Pahrump? I would need someone's off-road vehicle because there's no roads that lead to this part that it landed on.
Off-road vehicle. Bring your Metro friend. Document the whole thing.
Shovels. Flashlights.
Gloves. Glasses. Yeah. The whole deal. We need it all on documentary.
I'm now a treasure hunter. So there you go. All right. It is time to win with Heads Up. We are giving you tickets to see comedian Aziz Ansari. The hypothetical tour is coming to the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace in April, and we have your tickets right now with Heads Up. You get to pick your category, and when you get six answers in 60 seconds, the tickets are yours. Caller 20 plays 702-364-9400.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, Lauren, you're caller 20.
Yeah, woo, yes.
Let's do this. We have a couple of tickets for you to go check out comedian Aziz Ansari, the hypothetical tour at the Coliseum. Pick a category for Heads Up. Do you want to go with dental hygienist, fitting room, book signing, or Women's Day?
Ooh. Fitting room.
Fitting room it is. Okay, National Dress Day is on Thursday. These are all different articles of clothing, okay?
Okay.
Different articles of clothing. We just need to get six and 60 seconds. I think we've got this in the bag.
You do got it in the bag. All right, Lauren and Mercedes, your 60 seconds for Heads Up starts now.
These keep your feet warm. You put them on before your shoes. Yes. This is what you would put on your head to keep your head warm. Yes. This is, you might wear this over your button-up shirt just as a snazzy little accent before the jacket.
Cardigan?
No, there's no arms on it. You just put it on and...
Beth.
Yes. This is what you just said, that type of sweater that you button up.
Cardigan.
Yes. This is, you might wear one of these, a mini one, a pencil one.
Yes, a skirt.
Yes. This is what you would wear when you get in the pool. You need to wear a...
Swimsuit.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, Lauren. We could have gone through five more clues and you would have totally gotten it. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much.
Going to see Aziz Ansari, his hypothetical tour coming to Caesars, and you are in for free. And here's the great news. We have these tickets all week long. Your next chance to win is coming up tomorrow morning. And coming up at 9 o'clock, a huge concert announcement. And later on in the hour, we'll get you tickets. It's all coming up. It's Mix 94.1.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
Guys are known for having these hardened exteriors, but surprising new research has found that they fall in love almost twice as fast as women. Academics have found that in this new survey of young adults from 33 different countries, including the U.S., they found the differences between the sexes when it comes to romance, and they revealed that the average man takes a little over 4 weeks to fall head over heels, while a woman moves much more slowly. The average woman, she takes her time. I mean, the guys are like right ready to go. What do you think? When it came to your relationship, was James in love with you before you were in love with him?
Oh, for me, I fell in love quick. I already knew there was something before we started dating, if that makes sense, because we were friends. So we started dating, and I just knew he was the one. I fell in love.
What about you, Ramon? Were you the first one with you and your wife?
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree. Jackie fell in love first. She said, I love you first. I was never first, but, you know, that might be just because I'm, you know, irresistible.
So. That's got to be it.
It's got to be it. No reason.
I'm irresistible.
I friend zoned my husband hard when we first met. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And then that was it. And then he kept pursuing me. And eventually I was like, oh, okay. He seems pretty cool. But yeah.
But didn't he call you out? Wasn't it where he like saw you in person? He goes, hey, you were supposed to call me or something like that?
Yeah. It turns out it was a complete coincidence that he worked for the company that owned my apartment complex. And he just happened to be at that property that day. He had to pick up some stuff. He didn't work there regularly, but he was there that day. And I walked in to pay my rent and he saw me and he's like, hey, You were supposed to, like, you stood me up. I was like, who are you? And he was like, I admit you. He was a listener of this radio station, and he had won something. And I said, when you come pick up your prize, let them know at the front desk, and I'll come out and meet you. Well, he did, and I was like, I don't want to go out there.
He sounded a little weird on the phone, front desk.
So, yeah, after that, we just started talking, and the rest is history. But I definitely friend-zoned him from the get-go, and that's our ongoing joke.
I love it.
Also this morning, the group Hall & Oates, they're probably done forever.
Oh.
I know a lot of you are going to be heartbroken out there. Daryl Hall just did this interview. And he asked if he would ever reunite with John Oates. And he says, quote, that ship has gone to the bottom of the ocean.
No.
He says, I've had a lot of surprises in my life, disappointments, betrayals. So I'm kind of used to it.
Oh, that was a low blow.
Oh, you want to hear it go even lower?
Yes, of course.
He went for the jugular on this one. He says, the songs with his lead vocal are the songs he wrote. And all the other ones, which is about 90%, are the ones I wrote.
That is... So did they say exactly what tore them apart? They just saw each other's differences, or ego might have gone the way?
It sounds like an ego thing. Honestly, I don't know. Hall's 78. Oates is 76. So when they say they're not getting back together, that's a pretty good chance they're not getting back together.
I mean, I think they're retired at this point. I don't know if they're going to be making any more hits even if they came back together.
Yeah, this is very true. But there's like no reunion tour that is going to happen. So if you were hoping that was going to be your next Sphere residency, I don't think you got it.
Oh,
now it's like
the Sphere.
Finally, this morning, this sounds like the worst possible parenting advice. And if you're getting your parenting advice off of TikTok, you might need to reevaluate. But TikTok moms have been telling parents to feed their baby a spoonful of this and it'll help them sleep through the night. What is it? Butter.
Butter?
This is so insane. Ugh. Moms in the U.S. started this trend. Of course they did. Like, where else? But it has spread to other countries too, like England, New Zealand, and a lot of parents feel like it's worth a shot, right? What's the harm? Well, experts say, first of all, there's no reason that this should work. And despite what TikTok says, it's not harmless. That much saturated fat is not good for anyone, especially babies. And giving your baby a dollop of butter, that could be a choking hazard. It's completely normal for kids to not sleep through the night, and I feel like you need to expect that when you have children. So, well, let's not shove butter in their face to get them to shut up. A bunch of parents who tried it confirmed it didn't work. So again, just want to put that out there. Don't get parenting advice from TikTok, please.
Yeah, no kidding. Butter before bed. It's like, here's your late time snack, Jimmy. Here's a butter. But like, no, that's disgusting.
Well, I was just thinking about like my mom when she was young and there was no TikTok. And I would be teething, and she told me she would put whiskey on my gums.
You got drunk as a newborn.
I'm like, you gave a baby a whiskey? And she's like, hey, it worked. You stopped crying. I'm like, yeah, because I was wasted. Like, are you kidding me?
Hi, I'm Mercedes. I'm drunk.
It's Mix 94.1. Hey, happy Mardi Gras, you guys.
Happy Mardi Gras.
It's Fat Tuesday.
It is.
Yeah, it's basically the last big hurrah before Lent starts tomorrow. And if you're unfamiliar, Mardi Gras, it's all about indulgence and eating and drinking and celebrating before the most reflective season of Lent. And I am a terrible Catholic. I was raised Catholic, but I definitely have fallen off the wagon.
Same here, sis. Don't worry.
But yeah, this is supposed to be your A+ excuse to like go all in on the good stuff. And there's some like must have foods if you're celebrating, like the king cake. Have you guys ever had king cake before?
Mm-mm, never.
No. I got they brought a king cake here to the station one year, and I got the baby. Like, there's a baby baked into it. A little baby. And what there's something that happens.
Aren't you supposed to throw like a party?
Oh, I think you have to buy the next king cake or something like that.
Oh, if you get the baby?
Yeah. I almost choked on it. It's tiny and it's plastic.
How could they put a baby in a cake?
I know. So there's that. Then there's pancakes that's supposed to be like you're supposed to indulge in pancake. Is there something that happens if you don't eat the right Fat Tuesday food? Like, are you cursed for the year? Does your metabolism get confused? Like, what happens?
Honestly, you're telling me because this is the first time I've heard of food for Fat Tuesday. I mean, I know there's like the New Orleans food, like the jambalaya.
The punchkis. Am I saying that right? We just talked about it last week.
I have no idea. All of this is new information to me. So you're educating me.
Well, you're supposed to eat a lot, and then you're supposed to give something up tomorrow for Lent if you practice. Now, I don't observe. I used to observe. I would always fail. So, like, I guess I give up Lent for Lent because I just was not doing a good job. But do you guys give up anything? And if not, what should you give up?
Oh, okay. Well, I remember I did give up something for Lent a few years ago. And this is when I thought that I needed to lose weight. I look back and like just shake my head. But I was like, you know what? I want to lose weight. I want to lose 5 pounds. And I said, no carbs. No carbs for 30 days.
That's a long time.
It was like a keto protein diet. I just ate like steak and veggies. And honestly, it wasn't bad, but I didn't see no results.
You didn't? Oh. Well, I mean, I'm sure you were doing a good thing by eating the veggies, the meats and stuff. Your cholesterol probably was skyrocketing. Yeah. But, you know, it's a give and take, right? What about you, Ramon?
Also raised Catholic, but don't practice anymore. But if I did, probably sweets like chocolate. My kryptonite for sure, sweet tooth.
Is there, like, are you an Easter...
No.
Christmas Catholic? Not even that.
No, nothing.
That's how it is. Don't tell my mom. Bad. I know. My mom's like, are you guys going to go to church? I'm like, oh. Yeah. I have such respect for everyone who's able to do that. My friend, she is practicing and she is giving up caffeine.
What?
I know. Easy.
I do it now.
What?
You don't drink coffee, Ramon?
No coffee, no soda. I haven't done it. Yeah, I've never drank coffee. I haven't had soda. The only time I drink soda is when I drink. But yeah, I don't drink like a can of Coke or Pepsi. I haven't drank soda like that in about 10 years.
So my girlfriend, she drinks coffee every morning and she's like, I'm just going to go cold turkey and give it up for Lent. And I am being supportive friend. I'm like, that's amazing. You're going to do great. Congratulations. Meantime, I'm like, oh gosh, this is going to be terrible.
Yeah, because like when people wean off caffeine, they get irritable.
Yeah. And it's not just coffee. She said all caffeine. So it's not like she can go to another source and get it from tea or something. She's going full on ban on caffeine. And I'm like, the respect I have for you is like crazy. And she's like, you should do it with me. And I'm like,
let
me think about it.
We don't want to see Mercedes without coffee in the morning.
Please. I mean, that would be the worst thing I could do to any of you. Show up here without caffeine. It's Mix 94.1.